The best way to learn how to be a dad is to learn from awesome dads. Welcome to the Awesome Dad Show. Here's your host, Mark Savant.
What is up and welcome to the show. I am thrilled to bring you today's episode. I had a blast chatting with today's guest, NFL veteran Kevin Burnett. Man, I've watched him on TV just blowing up QBs and blowing up running backs for years, so it was just really cool getting a chance to hang out with him, shake his hand, and ask him some questions about fatherhood. In this episode, Kevin is going to give some great stories on injuries that he's overcome, communicating with his spouse, coaching, transitioning from football to family life. It's just a great episode. I think you're really going to get a lot of value out of it. If you're new here, please take 2 moments, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a review. Believe it or not, those reviews make a big difference. They help us to reach more fathers, so I really appreciate your support. I also want to invite you, head on over to Facebook. There is a great community of dads there. Check out the Awesome Dad Group. It's a great place to be, and we have a lot of fun just spreading love and celebrating fatherhood. I'd also like to mention that on YouTube, you can catch all these interviews as well, so make sure that you head over there to subscribe. Lastly, if you know a guest that you think would be great for the show, please send an email to connect@actdad.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from more and more guests. Please send them my way, and I would very much appreciate that support. Listen, I cannot wait to share this episode with you. So let's go ahead and run the interview with Kevin Burnett.
Kevin, welcome to the Awesome Dad Show. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're doing a lot of different things. And one thing I love to see from professional athletes is giving back in coaching, bringing up the next generation, if right. you would. So if you could, just kind of fill me in. Why is coaching important to you?
Because you're a leader, you're a mentor, you're a teacher. Who's going to take care of you when you get old? And if you don't take care of this next generation, if you don't take care of the younger youths, then when you get older, it's kind of going to be, you're going to be unfulfilled, one, and then you're going to be out there stuck alone and wondering why you're by yourself. So I think it's important to kind of reach back and bring people along, bring kids along, young boys and girls that love the game of football.
Yeah. Well, I think that's something that's lacking as a whole in our society. So to see accomplished athletes like yourself, 9 years in the NFL, almost 500 tackles, crushing it. Also down here in Miami. Anything else that I may be missing?
No.
To give back and push them through the two-a-days that you once went through.
To give them an example, to show them, hey, if I made it, so can you. And then to also take sport out of it for just a minute, to help you navigate life. I mean, we tend to forget with our sports and our lives and things we want to major in college that you still have to navigate problems and things are going to happen that are unforeseen, and not every day is constant. So just to be able to handle the ups and downs of life and to be able to make light of bad situations. So.
Well, the reality is the majority of kids that are playing sports in high school, in middle school, and even in college are not going to make it to the league.
Right.
And even if they do make it to the league, things can happen quick, like one injury and your career could be over.
Luckily for us, technology's come a long way, but you are always one play away. You're always, you're one step away. I mean, you're one plane ride, you're one car ride. I mean, whatever the case may be, you are legitimately, one corner turn away from either not playing again or, sadly enough, not walking the face of the earth anymore. So,
I think something happened early in your career. You had a bad ACL injury. What was it like when that happened? Walk us through that.
So, just like any other young athlete, one had dreams and aspirations of going and playing in National Football League and being a first round pick, and kind of got unfocused. You start putting the cart before the horse and you start thinking about too many things versus what's at hand. And you kind of lose track of the moment. So
when the incident happened and you're sitting with the doctors in the room, what did they tell you? How did it feel?
It was the fourth think it was the third play of the game or the fourth play of the game, came free on the blitz and jumped in front of the quarterback and came down. He tried to run one way, so I went one way and my leg went the other way, and you hear this pop in your head and you're like, oh man, that can't be good. So laid on the field and I walked to the sideline, they pulled on my knee, said it's your ACL. I was devastated, man. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. So I came back from it.
You came back and you had some of the best years of your career following that injury.
It's one of those life lessons how you take for granted the game of football sometimes just because I'm good at it, I got tomorrow, and you have now. That's all you have. You don't have tomorrow. You have now. So you got to maximize your moment. And luckily for me, I took a lot of lessons from it and came back better from it and thankful for it, honestly.
Yeah. So how old are your kids first?
My oldest is 15. I have a 14-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, are they into athletics and team sports?
My older two play baseball. My middle daughter, she runs track and plays tennis, and my youngest plays golf.
Awesome.
So we got a little bit of everything around the house.
So do they ever come to you and say, hey, Dad, I want to make it to the league. Like, what are the steps that I can take? How do you give them your experience?
The older two play for me in baseball and football, and I think they kind of understand that when you grow up in a sports family, it's just every day is coaching. You're going to get coached on something. So I think they take it with a grain of salt and say, hey, you know what, Dad, I don't need you to coach me on video games, or Dad, I don't need you to coach me on walking. So it's pretty cool to kind of have teenagers and they experience that. So
I had Trent Dilfer on the show a couple months ago, and he kind of expressed that same challenge where you always want to be coaching as a father.
Right.
How do you separate the coach hat from the listening hat? How do you do that?
I think you have to, because again, it can go just too much of anything is overboard. So you got to kind of leave it alone and let them play.
Do you have any specific example where maybe your kid was like, Dad, like, I know how to swing the bat, stop coaching me?
Oddly enough, they look for me to help them with everything now. So it's like, now when I'm trying to step away, they pull me back in. I think it's a good and bad, because I want them to understand that Dad's not going to always be there. And a lot of times I taught them to self-correct. So so when I'm not there, you understand what's going on, or you have some clue idea to where you can rationalize how to fix it. So I feel like too much is never enough, but sometimes too much can be too much. So so you kind of let them be their own person.
Yeah, I've spoken to some fathers who say, I love coaching, I just don't like coaching my kids, because it can be hard to kind of separate those roles, which are both very important.
So I have a thing, my favorite coach, Tony Sperano, fair but not equal. My kids understand that, hey, I'm going to get the same treatment as everybody else, but I'm not as equal. Yeah. I'm not equal to everybody else, because sometimes I'm going to either get less or more just because I'm coach's kid. So I try to be even keel with that. And sometimes I think you could, as any dad, too hard on your kid. So I try to taper back. But I mean, I have a saying that I say to all my kids, coach is his hardest on his favorites.
Right.
If coach isn't hard on you, then he probably doesn't like you. And I mean, that's just the sad reality of it.
Yeah, no, that's a great perspective, because the reality is that, like you went through with your injury early on, like you need to be tested, right?
Right.
Like, you need to be working out in the gym. You need to be challenging yourself regularly. Does you ever feel like, sometimes I feel, and this might be the old man get off my porch type of mentality, but sometimes I feel like people nowadays are almost afraid to be challenged. They want things easy. Are there any techniques?
Greatness isn't comfortable. I mean, and I think you have to understand, anytime that you're called to do something great, your success is on the other side of comfortable. How uncomfortable are you willing to make yourself? And I think for me, when that ACL injury was God's way of making me uncomfortable and saying, hey, look, one, no, you're good, but I need you to be great. And also just, again, for me to recondition my mind that football is a complete game. You have to be mentally, physically, spiritually, but you also have to be grounded in the classroom too, because you're gonna stop playing football at some point in time. So yeah. You gotta be ready for it.
Yeah, how important was your family in keeping you grounded? Because you're traveling, you know, you've got the glitz and glamour, right.
My mom was just, she was everything. And my wife, those two and my grandmother, they really helped me keep the wheels on. Mm-hmm. Even when I felt like they were coming off, they were like, it's not really they're coming off, it's that, you know, your lug nut might be loose, but your wheels are still on. So just having that background, that support, people that love you, it'll propel you, because it's kind of like having a built-in coach.
Was there ever a time where you felt like there was a lot of pressure for you to be there professionally, but also being pulled by your spouse? Or how did you communicate with her so that she understood this is my job, this is the time, this is the season I'm in?
I think it's important that the spouse kind of understands the profession that you're in.
Right.
And it's communication mm-hmm. is everything. And if you don't communicate where you are or what you're feeling, or sometimes, you know, as men, we don't know how to communicate what we're feeling. We just know how to go.
Yeah,
so, and we're not taught to communicate what we're feeling. So, again, if you're uncomfortable saying, hey, I don't know what I'm feeling, then you should probably say it. So right. That way that person, they ask you what's wrong, and you're like, look, I don't know what I'm feeling at this point in time. And we've got to be, as men, we've got to be okay with saying, you know what, I don't have all the answers right now.
I had this debate or argument with my wife a few months ago. I was just kind of like commenting on her choice of television shows.
Right.
Right. And
good luck with that.
Yeah, that's kind of how it went. And so I went to a large dad group, and all the dads were like, what are you doing?
Right.
Keep it to yourself.
Your battles.
Yeah. But I said, well, you know, I think maybe it's better for at least to express my opinion, and we can at least get over it. And
right.
At the end of the day, I'll let her do what she wants. But I think there's this balance. Pick and choose, but express yourself. I think that's an important part.
Mindless TV gives our significant others a way to express themselves without expressing themselves. Mm. I think because as men, we're the go-getter. I want more and more and more and more. And sometimes we don't know how to unwind. So we have to kind of respect our significant others' yeah. way of unwinding and kind of step into that world for just a minute and say, hey, why do you watch this? You know, what is it that you're looking at? And not be, you know, in the condescending or, you know, demeaning way. It's like, hey, you know, what do you take from this? Or, you know, what is it that interests you about this? Or why is this funny to you? And we have to be okay with the answer. So,
yeah.
We don't have to watch it all the time, or we don't have to like it. But I think that's why we're two different people. We like yeah. two different things. So,
like you said, I think just expressing your respect and communicating in a way that
right.
that is not demeaning or insulting, right. and that can be
that can be hard, because yeah. men, we joke. You know, we joke hard. You know what I mean? Just call it what it is. I mean, if somebody. We don't really joke soft, and that's,
yeah.
you know, sometimes we take for granted that we have different upbringings. So if I'm joking with my wife in the same way I joke with my boys, then she might as well be my boy. And, you know, a lot of times that doesn't come over well that doesn't go over well because she may have had a hard day, or the kids may have did yeah. something to upset her, or, you know, you may have said, hey, honey, can we have tomatoes instead of peaches, and it's any one number of things. So we got to kind of be able to balance it all, and we've got to maintain that level of balance in the household, and that's hard. That's a tough task for a man.
Yeah, it's a constant
all the
challenge.
Time.
You just right. gotta keep after it,
right.
And don't ever feel like it's too much or you should stop, because I think that's when things start to unravel a little bit. Well, I'd like to segue a little mm-hmm. bit, if I may. Walk me through what it was like to introduce your kids to Big Poppy. What was that like?
Me and my son, little Kevin, we were in the car on the way down to the Super Bowl events, and I said, how cool would it be if we saw Big Poppy?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a real big believer that, you know, what you say will happen, will happen. What you feel will happen, will happen. And we were at the Fox tent with a couple of my good friends, LeVar Arrington and TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Big Poppy walks up. I said, Kev, look. I said, go take a picture with him. And my son had just got his hair done, and they wear their hair the same. I said, bro, that's, you know, my weekend is complete just to see that picture and to be able to introduce him to one of his favorite players and, you know, everything that he went through with his incident outside of the country. It was a good feeling for me as a father. It's like an accomplishment, like, dang, you know what? I mean, it's one of those proud dad moments.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's such a blessing that you worked many, many years to have that opportunity. How do you keep your kids grounded? Because that's not a normal experience for most kids.
My kids, for whatever reason, they're just easygoing. I don't think they know anything different. Mm. I mean, they've been around sport. And I asked my son, I said, you know, wouldn't that be cool if you meet Big Poppy? He was like, I'm like, Jesus, bro. Okay. So they don't really get starstruck, but I don't think they understand how fortunate they are either.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
You know, when you've been fortunate to have a lot of opportunities, you don't know how valuable opportunities are until they're gone. So
100%. 100%. How are you giving them and teaching them other skills? Because you mentioned this earlier, like, tomorrow's not promised. Sports might not end up being your professional career. How do you keep them balanced with all these other activities? Because it's really hard, I think, for kids growing up with all the different hats they have to wear, too.
Right, the different stimulus around. I think more than anything, man, you got to say, do something that makes you uncomfortable. Do something that makes you think right, left-handed. Eat left-handed. Go to an opera. Listen to Beethoven. Do things. Anytime you have the opportunity to disrupt your natural way of thinking, do it. Because it's going to give you a new experience, a new opportunity. And, you know, you'll really be able to redefine or refine what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
So
yeah, get comfortable with the discomfort. Yeah. Was there ever a time where your wife maybe brought you to something that you were like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to dress up like that. Was there ever a time, and then you end up walking away and saying, you know what, maybe that was. Maybe I'm a little bit more cultured. Maybe I learned a little bit more about myself.
My wife gets excited to go to, like, the museums, and I'm like, and then we went to Europe, and we went to the museum, and we went to Louvre.
Mm.
And that's how you say it, right? The Louvre.
The Louvre, yeah. The Louvre, I believe that's in France.
Yeah, right.
Which is shut down now thanks to the health scare going on over there. It's kind of
that's terrible all in itself. But we went to the Louvre, and I mean, we had so much fun. And I didn't really understand the culture and the history and just the historical value of going there because my mom has never been out of the country. My grandmother has never been out of the country. My grandfather, to my knowledge, has never been out of the country. So it's like, to go somewhere to where your family has not been and to have three of my four kids say, hey, we've been out of the country before.
Yeah.
We've been to the Eiffel Tower. We've been to the Champs-Élysées. We've been to Paris on Valentine's Day. So to have those experiences, I think, is just invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, priceless. Yeah. Priceless. I mean, I think that's one of the best things we can do as fathers is to give our kids a better life than we had. That's kind of the goal. I think a lot of times. Well, Kevin, before we get into the rapid fire, the famous Act of That rapid fire questions.
Let's go.
Where do you want everyone to find you? Where can people go to find out more about what Kevin's doing?
Shoot, man, the first place would probably be my Instagram page, Kevin Burnett 2, K-E-V-I-N-B-U-R-N-E-T-T, the number 2. And then my Twitter handle's the same, Kevin Burnett_2. Somebody mm-hmm. took Kevin Burnett too. I was like, geez, come on, bro.
There's another Mark Savon out there too. I'm like, Mark.
Jeez, be cool.
I'm watching you.
I'm telling you. And then I actually have a podcast, Smart Talk. So it stands for sports, music, activism, real estate, or relationships and transparency. It
kind awesome.
Of touches on a multitude of subjects and topics because it's just things as men, as people that we don't talk about, but that people want a lot of information about. So, yeah. I mean, those are, and then, I mean, I will give you my phone number, but can't do that.
we don't need to send that out there. Good deal.
But, or you can come to MacArthur football games this fall.
Right on, right on. I might have to bring my daughter because she loves sports events. She loves all the hype. I think that would be a lot of
bring
fun.
Her. Come on, man. We'll make sure she sit up high, get to see the tape, the footage of the game.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Hopefully we can get fireworks and stuff by then, so we'll see.
Rock and roll, rock and roll. I'm excited to see how MacArthur football plays out with you leading the pack, if you would.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get into the rapid fire here real quick. What's your favorite story, Kevin? What's your favorite story to tell or read to your kids?
You talking about book story?
Sure, it could be a book story or a story that's just kind of resonated with you.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Great.
It, the first time I read that to my son, it took me about 45 minutes. No, I do not like Green Eggs and Ham. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a tongue twister. And I mean, I hadn't read a Dr. Seuss book the last time I read that to him. It was probably 15 years since I had read a Dr. Seuss book. And I mean, it took me all of 45 minutes at least.
Dr. Seuss will test you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is beyond test you.
Yeah, The Cat in the Hat, I kind of had the same experience. It took me about a half hour the first time, but it's like every time I read it, it got a little bit faster. You get into the kind of the flow.
Oh, yeah.
But
needless to say, we only read that book one time.
So. Oh, that's good. Kevin, what's your favorite city to visit? Favorite city to visit?
To visit, I love to visit home, which is Los Angeles, California.
Awesome.
I also like to visit New York. New York is one of my favorites. It's so fast paced, and you just get in and out and here, there, everywhere. It's definitely a fun city.
Love it. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
Yes.
Good. Love it. If you could see any musician, any artist at a concert, who are you going to go see?
Outside of my cousin, Ty Dolla Sign, Jay-Z is my next favorite. He puts on a great show. Mm. He's just such a showman, and he's really honed in on his craft. And I mean, he's a real entertainer.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, from top to bottom. I do want to see Beyonce, though. I've never seen her. And next to Beyonce will be Rihanna, so those two are like neck and neck in my book.
Yeah, so Jay, make it happen. Rockefeller, let's get the whole list down.
That'll work.
Kevin will be there. All right, final question here for you, Kevin. If you had a billboard that could reach millions and millions and millions of fathers, what would you put on that billboard?
Ooh, that's a good one, man. That's a tough one.
That's why I do it.
I have a couple sayings, but okay. I think one, and I've just picked it up this year, it's two pains in life, the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. Now, it's only one way to come back from those, and you have to, I'm expanding on this a lot. The pain of discipline, pain is temporary, but the pain of regret, it lasts for a lifetime. So, another saying too. I trust God, all others must bring data. So why? Because everybody wants to sell you something, man. So instead of me believing you, man, here's bring me the numbers. Show me how this is going to translate into dollars and cents, or how this correlates with how I live my life, or why should I value this product? So I think those two sayings are what hold close to me right now today. It's what I can think of.
Love that. We can get two billboards going side by side. I dig it.
That'll be sweet.
Well, Kevin, thanks for being an awesome dad. Thanks for being on the show. And we're looking forward to watch your story unfold, brother.
Oh, shoot, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your day here with me and with Kevin. This interview was just a blast, and I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to share the stories of all these amazing men who are doing just fantastic things. My goal with this show is to give fathers the resources that they need to be inspired, to be entertained, to be educated on how they can be a little bit better. I always hate that term, parenting expert, but I think that if we can take small anecdotes and pieces of advice from these amazing men, that we can be better fathers ourselves. We can create a better world. Once again, thank you so much for being here. If you're still listening, I would really love to encourage you. Head over to patreon.com/actadad. You'll have the opportunity to support the show by joining a tier, whether it's a $1, $5, $10 a month, whatever tier works for you. It makes a huge difference and really helps me in creating the best quality content possible, in finding more awesome guests. So if you're a frequent listener, I love you. Leave a review, but please head over to patreon.com/actadad and consider finding a tier that works for you and supporting the show. With all that said, I hope you have an awesome week, and I cannot wait to see you back here, same place, same time next week. Have a great one. Peace.